Please do sit down. And now Helen is going to read to us from the Bible, and then Mac will come and speak. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3. And it can be found on page 1174 of the Church Bibles. And the passage is God's marvellous plan for the Gentiles. And this is about how Jesus was there for all of us, not just the Jews. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and can be found on page 966 of the Church Bibles. And it is the story of the Magi visiting the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
things out of your word. Open our minds that they may think upon these things, and open our hearts to understand them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right, it's okay, got the switch. Okay, if any of you have got children, young beings still in, and if they start making a noise, don't worry. In most instances, I can promise I can make more noise than them. Not always, but most times. Christmas is finally over. Oh dear. The cards are down. All the wrapping paper taken up to disposed of, or just about. Everything's coming to an end. And here we are, moving on into the normal things of life again. Or perhaps not quite. Now, before I start going into the sermon, I want to admit something. Normally, I go rigorously over what my preparation is to make sure I've not left any errors in. Now, so in the first part of this sermon, I might make a few mistakes. And in that case, I ask you, indeed, I implore you, please correct me. So today, as David has already intimated, we celebrate infamy. Why did people laugh? What did I say wrong? I thought it was infamy, isn't it, today? What is it? Epiphany. Oh, right. Okay, good. That's one of the 12 major festivals of the church. That's not a mistake. It's true. Where all over the world, Christians remember the coming of the three kings following the star from Leighton Orient. Well, a couple of mistakes there, yes. Thank you. For those who didn't hear, yes, we don't know there were three of them. They certainly weren't kings, and they most certainly weren't from Leighton Orient. Okay, I've put in those errors just to think about those wonderful picture postcards that we have on the Christmas cards of three kings on their camels, trudging across the desert, and eventually arriving at a stable in Bethlehem. And that's the other thing I missed out, arriving at the stable. They weren't in a stable anymore. In our reading, it says they were definitely in a house. So they'd moved on from the stable. Okay. I hope that's got you thinking. I hope I'm not going to wreck your vision of those Christmas cards. In fact, I hope I will aid your understanding of them. So there's three things I want to look at today. Good Church of England sermon, 3 points. The meaning of Epiphany. What was the Star of Bethlehem? And what did it mean? And who were the Magi, the wise men? And what impact the star made upon them? Okay, firstly, I just want to discuss the Epiphany. If you look up a dictionary, the dry meanings are, first of all, it's a religious festival. That's what we are at now. The festival or time of year that celebrates that time when God reveals his love and his salvation to the whole world. And that's taken up by the revealing of the birth of Jesus to these three magi who came from a foreign country, who had a different religion. They weren't Jews, and we'll look at their background a little bit later on. Secondly, it can mean a religious experience. But thirdly, and I want you to remember this a little bit for a bit later on, a moment in time when you understand or become conscious of something important when things suddenly become clear, when all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle fit together and you can see what it's there, what the picture is. It's that sudden moment. I've been doing a bit of babysitting just lately, and I've been looking at my grandson. He's about now 18 months, and for a lot of the time, he's standing and looking, just as Eleanor's looking at me now, and thinking, what's going on there? And you can see him taking in things, and then he'll suddenly, you can see that progress. Suddenly there's a ratchet forward in his understanding. He isn't quite talking yet, but everything's there. He's taking it all in, and you know that suddenly it's just going to happen. And when all the pieces fit together, and life is like that. Can you remember back to your maths lessons? When you were doing things and you couldn't oh dear, how do these quadratic equations work? And then suddenly there's a moment of time and it all clicks. It's an epiphany. We'll come to that a bit later on. Okay, let's go turn our attention to the Star of Bethlehem. Or it would be better to call it an astronomical phenomenon. Or an event. Because I can't say, if I keep on saying phenomenon through the rest of this sermon, I'm going to get it tangled. So an astronomical event. Now what it was, we just don't know. Even now, there will be people writing papers on what they think this star was. Was it a supernova? Was it a particular conjunction of particular planets with or without an alignment with the moon or another star? And when did it happen in history? Well, nobody knows as yet. There are lots of different candidates that would fit, but none which can be proven. What is important, however, it was that from our reading from Matthew, it was sufficiently important that it caused three complete strangers, a number of people, having seen it, to make a long journey. Okay, what can we determine from the facts from the star and from our reading? Just from our very short reading, we can find out it signified a birth. It was associated with a great king, and it was linked inextricably with the Jews. Then it rose or had its beginning in the east. Now that's quite strange. If it rose in the east and these magi were following it, then they'd be going further east, not west, which is the direction they actually took. An interesting point to ponder. It appeared at a particular time. So there was a time when it wasn't happening, and then there was a time when it was. And it carried on. It was continuous for a long period of time. And from the reading again, it was in the westward sky when it went in front of the Magi in the last stage of their journey to Bethlehem. And finally, an important thing, Herod and all the learned people in Jerusalem were not aware of it or weren't aware of its significance. So that's some facts about the star. Then let's turn to the Magi themselves. What can we say about them? First of all, it has to be said that the Magi were a class of people, a type of person. They probably came from, and I have to underline the word probably, came from the country we now call Iraq. But it could have been even further east than that. They were well educated. They were could read and write very easily. And their chief occupation, or at least certainly some of them, was the study of the stars. And in that sense, we would call them modern-day astronomers. But because of the culture of that time, they looked for meaning in the movement of the stars. And so, it would have to be said, and quite, let's put it bluntly, they were astrologers. They would have been reasonably wealthy, but not certainly in the same bracket as kings. It would be just as reasonable to suppose that the Magi who visited Jesus were quite young men. Think of them as students off on a jolly. So any picture we have of three bearded men riding camels with crowns upon their head, I'm afraid, is wrong. There are some who might want to speculate further that the Magi might have included some women, but I'm afraid the evidence is entirely against it. I mean, just look at the presents they brought. If women had been going along, they'd have brought some linen diaper cleaners and some liniment oil for cleaning him and perhaps a Moses basket. But no, we end up with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I'm sure the Magi were men. So here we have these people who were astrologers. Their belief was in the stars. And now, I know some people will be getting a little bit worried about saying, am I actually up in the front saying that it's okay to study the stars? Well, I want to allay that fear by quoting what it says in the Bible from Isaiah. It says this: "Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble, and the fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the flame. Each of them goes on in his error, and there is no one that can save you." There could be a host of other Bible passages, but I chose that one from Isaiah because Isaiah, if we'd have had the Old Testament reading, that would have been from Isaiah itself. Okay, so far I've explained some background facts. Epiphany, the star, what it was and what it signified. And we looked at the Magi themselves. Now I want to actually take us and our thinking into that time and that place and bring it forward for us today. The Magi studied the stars and believed absolutely in astrology. If God wanted to speak to those Magi, and he most certainly did, what would have been the best method by which he could accomplish it? And it was indeed by speaking to them through that which they studied, the stars. How God worked it is beyond my understanding, but he made that star to shine and for the Magi to see it. And look at the impact that it had upon them. Now I can speculate that back in wherever that town they came from, whichever country they came from, perhaps it was the town, the city that we now call Baghdad. There must have been many who knew this, and they would have been deeply interested, and they would have got their books out and their charts out and looked at all the meaning. There would have been great discussion. Oh, yes, a lot of nodding of heads. What was the meaning of this new astronomical event? A great deal of excitement raised. But only a few took it on board to actually go and find out the truth behind it. So a lot were only interested in finding interesting things, but not doing anything about it. But for those few, it was of such importance that they took the trouble to make all the preparations that were required, and they set out on a long and possibly dangerous journey to the tiny, subjugated Roman province of Judea to seek a newborn king whose birth was so portentous, whose birth might potentially be world-changing. It is this element of the story that hits me most. For these magi, this child was incredibly, incredibly important. And this is underlined by their action on what happened when they reached Bethlehem and the house where Mary and Joseph were staying and where Jesus was with them. Having come to such a lowly house, an ordinary house, they might have been tempted to ask for confirmation that this really was this important baby. But we are told they went in and they bowed down before this baby. And when I say bowed down, it's not just making a little nod. They would have got down on their knees and they would have prostrated themselves before this child. And they worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. And in so doing, they were acknowledging him as their king. And they were offering their service to him. We do not know what happened to the Magi after this event. I would like to believe that in some way they were able to leave behind them their astrological sign, whatever that might have been, whether it be Gemini or Libra, Sagittarius, and be born anew under the sign of the cross. Perhaps in later times, the message came to them from one of the apostles. We don't know. But God had spoken to them. And God speaks to people who want to hear today. I don't want to mention anything about Herod or the massacre of the children in Bethlehem. Don't even want to go into the significance of the gifts that the Magi brought. I want to consider again the meaning of the word epiphany. A moment when something becomes clear, when everything fits together and you see what God is about. For those of us seeking to share the good news of Jesus with others, consider that God chose something which in the Old Testament was completely outlawed. But God chose that to reveal himself to the Magi. If God chose to speak through the stars, then we should not have any quibble about going out to speak to people where they are rather than where we are. And then finally, for all of us, let us consider again the Magi who made that journey, that having seen something of interest, something out of the ordinary, they were prepared to go out of their way to pursue it, to find out more. Let us consider anew the person of Jesus. Christmas is past, that time when we think of that cute little baby, harmless baby, laying in the cradle, that we celebrated with carols and nativity plays. Let us see him as the Magi saw him, as King and Messiah, as Lord. And may God grant that as we consider these things, we may also be able to come before that same Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead, and be able to follow the example of the Magi, to bow down and worship him as our Saviour. Amen.